You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, will, and hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But considering what is going on with the coronavirus or COVID-19 and civil disturbances, my thing is stay home. Keep your hands washed. And if you go out, put that mask on. I think that's the bottom line. You know, I understand, and that's what we're going to talk about today. All that's going on. Yeah. It needs to be discussed. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives on timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. And then once you click on that, you'll see African Perspectives and click on that. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then on Monday evenings, just another program note, the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones has been, Brother Franklin Jones is taking a hiatus to complete his book. And I'll have him on the program periodically, especially when the book comes out. So, yeah. So, I got you, Brother Kwaku. I got you. African Perspectives, once again, here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Brother Franklin Jones is suspending his program for the time being, I guess. And we'll deal with that. Acres of Diamonds, Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad coming out of Philadelphia. Followed by Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 9. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, weekend edition from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, once again, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m. Every Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday, the Warm Valentine Show from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. You can get everything you need from American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. I'm on the website now. Of course, they're selling masks, sanitizer, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, the usuals, those Champ boxer shorts and mud cloth boxer shorts, the toothbrushes, the laundry detergent, the grooming, the mouthwash, all kinds of good stuff. Go online, WeBuyBlack.com.
BeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba is ready to once again take our people to the motherland, a trip of a lifetime. Once again, everything you need to make that trip a reality is on the website. The paperwork, the visa, all of that stuff, all that, everything you need is on the website. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org or give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Also, too, this next trip coming up is South Africa, November 20th through the 30th. November 20th through the 30th, only $3,700. Right after that, in December, December 24th to January 5th, 2021, is Ghana, and that is $3,700 as well. Check them out, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Dr. Rinoka Rashidi, his tour is coming up in October, October 5th through the 16th, going to Uganda and Rwanda. The beautiful pictures that he has. I'm telling you, I'm still thinking about it. I'm going to make a decision real quick. I might go on this. This is number one, to see Rwanda. Rwanda's a lot of interesting things I've read about Rwanda and how it looks, the cleanliness of it. It might, you know, once again, brothers, I'm planning on getting out of this mother. So I want to go home. So I need to look at where I'm going to go. I mean, obviously, I have a fondness and a love and affection for Ghana, but it's just disappointing the last time I was there last year, you know. But anyway, Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th, $4,200, followed by October 22nd through November 4th to Kemet, around that same price of $4,200. Go to drrinoko.com, drrinoko.com. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and find out what these brothers and sisters are doing here and on the continent. They deserve your support. HabeshaIncorporated.org. They are doing the work. The Kashi Village is, the picture of it is beautiful, but you see the progress of it. It is happening on the continent. It is happening in Ghana. You see the work that they're doing here. The work that they're doing here, sustainable. Habesha works, sustainable agriculture, sustainable seeds, back to our roots, black to our roots, rather. Black to our roots. And the golden growers. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Us lifting us. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. As we like to say, family-centered economics. Go to usliftingus.com and check out what Us Lifting Us is all about. Every Thursday, they have their radio broadcast at 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That is every Thursday, the Thursday night broadcast. Or if you want to use the phone to listen or to even comment or questions or concerns, 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Shrine of the Black Madonnas. Yeah, Joe Biden, they still closed, y'all. But I know soon it'll be happening soon. The Greenbrier Mall is open, and my sister, Mama Nia, she's open. The Medu bookstore is open. If you're looking for a book or postcards or green cards, T-shirts or whatever, give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The other bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta, off of I-20, is Kazimdia Jamu's, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Wadada's. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, 878 Ralph David Avenue, right up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian and the West End Mall, which is going to be gentrified. But check out Wadada's. They have We Buy Black products. The We Buy Black. Not a lot of the, they have the toothbrush, or they have the soap and so forth, and they all have a health food stuff. At Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Check them out. The number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. They also have Athletics. That is the athletic apparel with the African themes. The Omex, the Dogon Starseed, you know, the Herus, you know. So check that out as well. Sanjay-Haiti. Sanjay-Haiti. I went online to Sanjay-Haiti to the beautiful, and at those beautiful children and what they're doing with Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby is doing. They deserve to be supported. Please go online. Check out Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti. A-Y-I-T-I. .org. Aqaban Institute, I'll be announcing the virtual workshop they're having next weekend, real soon, for at the Aqaban Institute. It's going to be virtual, so just like they just had recently. And so the school that deserves to be supported is Aqaban Institute. Make your check money order out to Aqaban Institute, send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Aqaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. PayPal and Cash App, put in the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your donations to support Aqaban Institute. So, let us, before I get to the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, I want to just make a mention. Today is the day that June 1st, 1921, the Tulsa Massacre. I went to Tulsa a couple months ago, right before. In fact, when I got back from Tulsa, that's when the lockdowns started to happen. So it had been before that, we wouldn't have been able to go. But I was fortunate to go to Tulsa to see for myself the destruction that happened, to talk with a brother. I had him on the radio program. The chief, Ugumawale, you know, definitely have him again as the time approaches. But today, June 1st, 1921, you know the Gap Band, you know, Charlie Wilson and them, they wrote a song called You Dropped a Bomb on Me. And that's what happened. Gap Band stands for Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. Those are the streets of Black Wall Street, Greenwood Street, the Greenwood District. And believe me, this brother's tour is outstanding. I think he has an unofficial tour, but he is, to me, the official tour, because it is from our perspective, how we should look at it. And so we, on this day, we pay homage to the brothers and sisters who were massacred, who were killed, and whose property was stolen, and then whose property was destroyed. I have a t-shirt I got from there that shows all of the businesses that were happening in Tulsa. You got to understand, they had some money. Oklahoma, that, in fact, I don't know if you've seen when you go on Facebook or whatever, that young, I can't remember the young sister's name. She had to go into hiding. She was rich because of oil being struck on the property. If you remember, before oil was discovered, and once the United States had suppressed the Seminole uprisings in Florida, along with our people that were there, that led to the Trail of Tears, taking them out of Florida, marching them literally across into Oklahoma. To Oklahoma. And you can best believe a lot of property was stolen from indigenous people, us and so forth. Yeah. So we want to always remember that. In fact, next year, I definitely plan to go to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma around this time next year for the 100th commemoration of that massacre. And that's what it was. It was a massacre. When they talk about riots. Okay, this weekend, those were riots. As Dr. King said, riots are the language of the unheard. And, of course, Bernice King was on TV and locally and, of course, nationally, very upset that her father's words were being misconstrued or taken out of context, but not really, because we've always been the unheard. In fact, things happen when we rioted. I'm going to go through all of that in a moment because we're going to just deal with the reality of what we're dealing with and how we should deal with it. From our perspective, that's for sure. Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 31st. The Greek tongue is a noise of words, a language of argument and confusion. Comedic. Things European want to attribute to industrialization, mass society, the service economy that they have spawned, some other impersonal force in this world, or simply some genetic quirk, can be directly connected to the character of their cultural personality. Our evidence is based on the historical record. Divorce is a most glaring example of this fact. It's abnormally high officially, legal divorce and separation, and unofficially, emotional detachment, distraught cohabitation, separation without legal notice, serial monogamy within marriage, and bigamy. Levels have fluctuated little since their frigid, aggressive, domineering beginnings. The cause of this continuation is the inability of husbands and wives to be loving or even remain civil in spousal relationships is easily found in their genocultural personality. Aggressive competition, aggressive competitiveness, sexual antagonism, and inequalities or idiosyncrasies, no respect for the union of others, and no respect for the sanctity of the institution of marriage, but a few of the many reasons they cannot get along in close quarters, except during sex. Some of them are having a serious problem right about now, ain't they? I'll say. We must remember to look to origins. Mythology reflects a people's idea and normal state of being. Dysfunctional families, abuse, and divorce were the norms amongst the gods and goddesses of Olympia, with Zeus and Hera, king and queen of these deities, having the worst fidelity and marital record. Affirm, I do not speak antagonistically to family members. Affirm, I do not speak antagonistically to family members. No animosity. Love family. June 1st. There are other ways to kill a people or colonize them, but none is more certain than the denial or the control of their food. Sam Yeti. What would you do if you woke up in the dead of winter to find all of the grocery stores, co-ops, farmers markets, restaurants in your community closed and an unscalable, impenetrable, heavily guarded wall erected around it. What would you do if this wall separated you from water, gas, and electricity, from hospitals, pharmacy outlets, fire rescue, and other social services, schools and relatives, but not churches, not liquor stores, not malls, cables, drug dealers, nightclubs, casinos, and police brutality? What would you do if your family was starving, but these who built the walls would give you and yours a few slices of bacon, some stale bread, and a choice of whatever overseer, driver, position you desire on the plantation that we're establishing right outside the wall, if you only would help turn your peoples away from rebellion and convince them to accept recaptivity in exchange for food? What would you do if they intensified the dropping of poisons from helicopters onto the urban gardens for fear of us refusing to consume only their nutricidal products? What would you do if, after completing the job of poisoning our remaining plots, they decided that they would rather keep their food than take our money because the quality and quantity of edible and digestible substances have become worse and made scarce? What would you do if they decide we were not worth feeding anymore? What would you do? Affirm, I grow, prepare, and protect my own food. Affirm, I grow, prepare, and protect my own food. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You have to admit that was, both of those were on point and deep. You have to admit. Love the Inye Sesim. Thank you, Baba Barudi. You know, brothers and sisters, today's program is about the virus. Oh, not corona. The virus of racism. A disease that afflicts Caucasians, but has deep ramifications on people who are outside of them, particularly those who are deeply melanated. There's no such thing as race. There's only one race, the human race, if you want to use that term, of which it has been bona fide, verified, substantiated that African people are the fathers and mothers of. Europeans developed the concept of race. Look it up. Carol Linnaeus, Johann Blumenbach. In the, what is that, the 1600s, 17th century? Giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And that's why globally, because European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a worldwide game. It's a worldwide phenomenon. You know, what's interesting is that when African people developed and the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture was Kemet. And Kemet was thousands of years before the first invasions of Hyksos, which lasted, I think, 100 years, 20 years, something like that, a couple hundred years, until they were expelled. The culture of Kemet was so strong and so dominant that, you know, the culture didn't change until Islam. That's when Kemet had been buried long ago. But even when the Greeks, the Persians, and the Romans still could not change the culture of those great Africans. And people came from far and wide to sit at the feet, The Greeks came and sat at the feet of African people, took that information back to Greece. And of course, Socrates was told, why are you bringing these foreign concepts up in here? What is all of this, this and that and the other? Made him drink poison. Made him drink poison. Plato saw what was happening. He went back into Kemet for study many years. The proof of this is George G.M. James's book, Stolen Legacy. Stolen Legacy, please read it. Because everything that I present on here is not, brothers and sisters, Baba Oshi or Brother Oshi's opinion. I don't give you my opinion. Because my opinion is profane. Especially in light of what's happening now, it is deeply profane. So what I try my best to give you is the research of scholarly work of our scholars, our historians. When I mean ours, those men and women who stepped outside the walls of European academia, even though they may have went to school, maybe they may even went and got degrees, but their mindset is outside of that. Their mindset is African-centered. Their mindset is Pan-Africanist. Their mindset is a belief in ourselves. So those are the men and women that I quote, that I present, that I respect, that I admire and love, for what they have done for us. And the many who continue to do for us. So they studied at our feet, as George G.M. James documented. So we taught them. They came back and developed their theology based upon what we had presented. We taught them. And then the Romans came in. The Romans, a bunch of barbarians. They came in. We taught them. Yes, we were on the decline. The Greeks had come in because the Persian had came in prior, and the Persians were very dogmatic. In fact, the committed people said, man, get these sons off of us. And the Greeks did that. And the Greeks presented themselves and wanted to present themselves as Kemetic. In fact, Alexander the so-called Great did not want to go back to Greece when he was killed. He wanted to be buried in Kemet. And of course, his generals and other Greeks took over Kemet, the Ptolemies. 30 dynasties in ancient Kemet. 30 dynasties. Because they understood that might did not make right. That right made right. And you were held to standards of righteousness. And if you were proven otherwise, then the priesthood got together, others got together, your ass was out. And a new family was in. Not like in Britain. They've been ruling dysfunctionally for decades and stealing, thieving, and killing and murdering all around the damn world. I had such disdain for the British and the French, those two particularly. But all of the Europeans, they all. I mean, you know, look what Belgium did under Leopold. He had the richest. He had right at the center. He had the Congo. And so the Ptolemies. Out of the Ptolemies was Cleopatra. Cleopatra the VII is the one they talk about the most. You know, and how she played Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. But still the culture was strong. Then Rome went on a decline. And then Europe went on a damn decline. A medieval. And then Islam came on the scene. In the seventh century. But also, too, in 325, you got to recognize what happened in Rome. 325, the Nicene Conference, when the idea of Christianity was co-opted by the Europeans. deep because they whitewashed everything. One can make an argument the beginning of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. But they went into a decline. That religion was very oppressive, as it always has been. And then they woken after Islam swept across North America, changed the face of swept across North Africa, changed the face of it in Egypt, or Kemet, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Mauritania, and so forth. Went up into Europe, into Spain and Portugal, the only light, the Moors, for 700 years. Then Martel and Charlemagne all woke up and expelled them, expelled the Moors, expelled the Sephardic Jews. And then they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, because of the theology they had, that it had a Caucasian face to it. And they imposed it on the world. Later they imposed it upon Africa, which still has deleterious effects to this very day. We're talking about the virus, brothers and sisters. The virus of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. That says that whoever's going to run the world is going to be us. And we're going to do it. We're going to support. We may war against each other, and boy, whether they do that, because they're the very violent, warring people. But we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And we're going to subdue the world. They didn't come to trade when they went, whatever they went to. They didn't come to barter. They didn't come to bargain. They came to take and to subdue and to impose. And if you didn't go along with it, they will kill you. The best example of this virus is the Joe Morton piece. If you haven't heard it, you may haven't heard it in a while, the Joe Morton piece is deep. So we're going to play that so you can. That's a deep piece.
Contribute. Say something.
You want me to say something? Fine. I'll say something. You people. You're not a race. You are a virus. You destroy the world. Everything beautiful, you poison. You drag us from our homes. You rape our daughters, murder our sons. You crack our spines and do all you can to break our will. You stab us. Then you put the knife in our hand and tell us it's our fault. And if you don't do it yourself, you stand by, close your eyes, and pretend there's nothing wrong. And then you pray to your God to silence our screams so that you can enjoy the happiness that we built for you with our blood. But it's not your fault. It's the only way you know how to be. And the only thing that will change anything is if another virus comes along and does to you what you do to us. And I hope that happens very soon.
Wow. This evening obviously hasn't gone as I'd hoped. And I think I'm having a full-on panic attack right now. So I'm going to go to the bathroom and get myself together. And when I come back, I hope you don't see me as the devil.
That's Joe Morton, The Dinner. You can go to YouTube, put in Joe Morton, The Dinner, and for yourself. A virus. That's what we're dealing with, ain't we? A virus that has infected the world. It's infected the planet. Everywhere on the planet. You know, even when the Moors were in Spain, they taught the Europeans. We're always teaching them. We didn't come to take. We came to share. They taught them to get them damn animals out the castle and put them in a corral, put them in a farm. They taught them to bathe, develop lights, electric street lights, water systems, aqueducts. We taught them. And these are the most inhumane people on the planet. I've talked to you about their evolutionary development many times. What Sheikh Anta Diop said about the Europeans and how they are. And there's nothing. I know there's some good Caucasian people, and I know right about now, you know, you might see something on Tim Wise. You might see something with Jane Elliott and a few other Caucasians who speak on the issues, you know, Tim Wise made a lot of money talking about our condition. Probably made more money than a lot of other brothers and sisters who articulate our position deeper and more sincere. Because the reality is, whatever the hell Tim Wise is talking about or Jay Elliott, it ain't gonna do a damn thing to their brethren. It ain't gonna change nothing. We've been in this madness 400 years. And we first broke out in the 60s. Because at that time, we were just tired of it. No, we didn't do it coming out of our captivity in deep segregation, deep poverty. Still, many of our people literally enslaved through sharecropping and mass incarceration, convict leasing. We were still just taking it. Get on the road to visit somebody, better have a green book, because you don't want to get caught. And it didn't matter if it was the South. No, south of the North Pole, because even in Canada, it is an evil mindset of Europeans. It's part of their evolutionary development. Because my sister, and I've sent that out and I played it here one time before, Sister Neat Knight of The Blackest Truth. Check out, go online, go to YouTube, The Blackest Truth. Get some of her pieces, The Blackest Truth. So she did a piece talking about why does racism still exist? And the fact that in their evolutionary development, they are the minority people on this planet, but control damn near 90% of its wealth on the planet. Defies, just as Dr. Bobby Wright said, it defies all laws of probability. Wherever they are and we are, they are in positions of dominance and control, and we are in a subservient position. Wherever we are, on the continent and throughout the damn diaspora. Wherever they are. And they're not going to change. There's no amount of appeal, of rational appeal, evidence It's just like I say all the time, don't you heard me say it? They suffer from cognitive dissonance and Caucasian fragility. They believe they have taken a position that we are superior and nothing will tell us otherwise. No amount of fact that might be there and it is will tell us otherwise. We are superior and we are going to impose our superiority on the planet. I often mention that when Marco Polo came back from China, the most important thing he brought back was not pasta, that everybody thinks that spaghetti and pasta and, you know, lasagna and so forth is Italian, but it's really Chinese. Like people think rice is Chinese, but it's really African. But what he brought back was gunpowder or fireworks that Chinese use for celebration and Europeans to facilitate their dominance. Fashion superior weaponry. And the map making and ship making capabilities they got from the Moors, their travel. So they have no originality. They don't. They're appropriators, they're thieves of the highest order. And then they had a religion that they established with their white face on it. The savior is Caucasian. I don't give a damn what you got a picture in your church. The face. I don't give a damn what it says in Revelation. Hair like lamb's wool, feet as in burnt. I don't give a damn none of that. It's Caucasian. And they imposed it on the world. On the world. You know, I understand and I can see that for us, if we chose that religion and put our face on it, I agree. Because to me, whatever your theology is, you know, whatever you have deities, they should look like you. They should look like you. But brothers and sisters, the damage had been done. The European had imposed it. With that image. Yeah, you can change some, just like somebody made a portrait of Jesus in the Catholic Church about 30 years ago or so. It had dreads, you know. But the damage, the image was already there. And then you had the European Jews, because that whole theology is connected. So the European Christians have to support. It's in the Bible. They have to support the European Jews. Why do you think they give them so much damn money? I'm going to play this before I go to a break. There's a lot of good stuff out there. One is Nick Cannon. The other is LL Cool J. We're going to play the Nick Cannon. Excuse for the profanity, but in light of what's happening, we have to understand. This is a Nick Cannon's piece, and you probably heard it already. It's been going around, and I'm quite sure the LL Cool J piece will be on you pretty soon as well.
I can't breathe again. God damn, I can't breathe. My voices are being quarantined. COVID-19, 60s to 1619. Jamestown choked me, sold me. Shackles hold me tightly by my neck. And I can't breathe again. 2020 ain't no fucking vision on your tail eye vision of why I'm living like a prejudge villain. CNN, Fox News commentating and debating why I can't fucking breathe again. How many times do I have to say this? I'm taking the gloves off because racism is the main deadliness that's contagious. I just got diagnosed and received a degree in criminology, but fuck your education. I don't want to learn shit from a nation that's racist. The definition of policing, overseeing property. I can't understand how the white man never understood how to handle the human properly. Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Muhammad and the noble true Ali spoke constantly, consciously, and cautiously about this ungodly prophecy. And you still worried about your prophecy? Amazon deliveries, handouts, hands up, don't shoot, but now your knees are on my neck stopping me from occupying oxygen that God obviously brought for me, for I am his offspring, his true seed. Motherfucker, get off of me, please. I can't breathe. Please, somebody call the police on the police, because I can't breathe again. And everything hurts. Your words, your knees, your nerve, your white wife who had the nerve to say she was frightened by black life while my face is on the fucking curb. I ain't scared of no fucking virus. This mask is for a riot. I can't breathe. And the media telling me to keep quiet, suffocating me into silence. The devil's greatest trick, convincing the world that we were the ones who were violent. Nah, they the ones deficient, insufficient comprehension of their barbaric existence. Y'all worried about this pandemic when our grandparents still trying to recover from when you gave them syphilis. Because in our blood, we scared of the white cells attacking our immunity. The system defective, infected. So who has the disease? You or me? Because I'm at a dis-ease, disadvantage, dismantled disability of your white knees killing me. Been on our neck for centuries. Knees are trees. Either way, you still lynching me. And what did we ever do to you except for build and make America great initially? Fuck again, because I can't breathe. Potentially, you missing me. Clearly not listening. Intentionally, we are a people of peace. But like Pac said, I ain't no killer, but your policies are pushing me further from the legislation, jumping off the education. While your skinheads, the damnation, and your clandestine rhetoric will forever be evident. Fuck the elite in the top 3%. I'm heaven sent. I was born Asiatic, and you made me asthmatic. So fuck your vaccine and masks. You gon' worry about these hands tomorrow, cause you can't sanitize the past. You may have took my last breath, but you'll never colonize my spirit. Standing there watching while I die. I can't breathe. And you still can't hear me.
Brother Nick Cannon. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. We'll come back from the break. We have another piece to talk about, and then I'll take these calls to get you in on this conversation. We're talking about the virus. We're talking about the virus that has afflicted this planet far too long. And if one of you want to talk about what you feel the solution is, I'd like to hear it. So I'm going to give you mine. It's the only one I've been pushing from day one. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. It's unify or die. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Remember our number, 215-490-9832. We'll have conversation on the other side. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere, people
On the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skip the life and dangle. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much. It's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac. A mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me. Calm, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They push that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. It was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy,
what's
man.
Up, fool?
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creole and Raheem at, man?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Let's check out June, bro.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom got robbed, man.
Not
what?
Again,
she got hurt bad.
What is happening?
What's going on? Freeze. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
What is that, a game?
No,
man. Shut up. I don't want to hear your
problem now. Excuse me. Officer, what's the problem?
Ain't no, you the problem. You the problem.
Yo, you ain't got to push the car. Get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the gas. Get in the car.
Is the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we are not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. The triumphs of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. On the scroll, straight to the verse. God to God, some gods to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? With the cause I never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness born forth the one. Open eye and strong sun. Practicing priests standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of God. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell, bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave, always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice, never potential, caught up with the measure. Jealousy of what are we becomes tendency for their thievery. All right, cool, but no need to pull the tokens as a fool. I get my words like that in my stool to produce the words that they fool about. It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course, I'm not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and hear the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize the clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives sooner lick. Jam brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vainglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And neither my demand makes stones seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear, of course, so just hasten your step to the mic and stage area as I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places an antenna. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step on.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Grandmaster Five, and excuse me, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, one of my favorite, which I think is one of the best rap pieces ever, The Message. And of course, X-Clan, the words of the brother. Other programming we have here, very quickly, here on
Time for an Awakening Media every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. African Perspectives. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Brother Wahad, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. And then on Fridays, Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition from 4 to 6. And then on Sunday, Time for an Awakening once again at 7 p.m. There's other program upcoming that'll be happening soon. So I'll definitely be reporting that. I'm going to open up the phone lines right quick and take some calls at 215-490-9832 and 404-453. Good afternoon.
Hey, OJ. Hey, OJ, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. Wes, how are you?
I hear, man. And here we are, 6-1-2020. Changes being made, man. But, look here, man. I tell the people, I commend the young folks out there, man. You know, everybody trying to get out of this in their own way, man. But, but look here, man. I sent you an article, man. I was listening to a expo last.
Uh-huh.
He was explaining, man. He was explaining how their main objective is to send undercover and white supremacists, most of what this type of police do. I just sent you an article.
Mm-hmm.
How these young redneck police, just whoever we try to have a peaceful protest. And their main objective is to make the whole thing go to violence where they start looting.
Well, you know what? Okay. You know what? You know what, Wes? That's yeah. On both sides.
Yeah.
The Intifada is also,
yeah.
The Intifada is involved, and that is the left-wing reactionary organization, anarchist, some say, anti-fascist, because fascism is on the right. And
right.
So it's a left-wing anti-fascism and very militant political group on the left, and that's who some of our people have seen Caucasians spray painting BLM, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, you know, F the police,
yeah.
Causing violence and mm-hmm. so forth. And then, of course, on the right, which you just mentioned that you sent me, I'm definitely going to take a look at it, is the alt-right mm-hmm. and them, because they still believe they want to start a race war. Damn it.
Right.
I don't know about you. I'm going to say this. I wouldn't lift a damn mm-hmm. gun to fight crackers to be in this madness. I wouldn't lift a damn finger.
Yep.
I'm getting out of here. You can have yes, this sir. Madness. You know?
Okay.
Because number one, let's be real.
Yeah.
We don't have the numbers. We don't have the armament. We don't have what it would take to fight these Caucasians at this time. And I know, as Baba right. Baruti says, developing warriors, teaching them a gun ownership and proper ways to handle guns is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. The Huey P. Newton Gun Club, there are other gun clubs that are out there. They have been growing since Donald Trump has been elected, but also the Caucasians.
Right.
They have been.
So
winning.
I agree with my man Ralph. The best thing to do, man, quit spending money with these devils. But I was listening to another program. I done heard two or three people saying they repatriated over to the motherland.
Duh.
But the main objective, they kept saying, don't come on, don't take your broke ass over there. You got to have some money, at least have some kind of residual income or something to go over to move over there, man.
Well, you're going to need, that's true. You're going to have some kind of residual income, because if you cannot go there and create income, you got to have something coming
right.
in. Because the bottom line is there is no safety net. There's no safety mm-hmm. net for the people. There is no social programs. I can't speak. Only one I can really speak on and truly is Ghana, because I've been there multiple times. But my understanding is pretty much the same way other places. And I eventually will try to do that, because I believe in my heart and my mind, the most important thing for us to do is, just like that movie, get out. Get out. You know?
Well, the first thing I'm doing is getting out of their damn holidays. Don't celebrate. Whatever they do, and love, I do the opposite, man.
Well, hey.
Okay.
Dr. Bear.
I'm getting them out of my mind. Yeah. I'm changing my mind, getting them out of my head.
That's
man.
Right.
I'm following the devil, man.
That's right. Dr. Bear Shango taught us that, the effect that these European holidays have on us. So I agree with you, Brother West. Hang on, man. I've got some more callers and I'm going to get to. You just hang on, dear brother. Thank you. 267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good morning. Or good afternoon, brother.
Hey,
brother
good afternoon, Ralph. How are you, dear brother?
All right, brother. And, you know, we're talking about solutions here. And I hear what you say your solution is, Brother Oshie. You're absolutely right. That is a solution. And we have to unify and do those things. Mm-hmm. Right now, the condition of our minds, and I'm being honest with you, brother, I don't see it being possible at this particular mm-hmm. moment. Maybe one day in the foreseen future, once our people are really fed up with this system.
How long?
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, Ralph, I always appreciate you. You know that. And I always appreciate your honesty and what you bring to the table when I listen to Time for an Awakening, when I listen to this program, even when I was on Blog Talk. I appreciate you led me to this. So you know I have an affection for you and a serious respect for you. I understand. But listen to this, Brother Ralph. I'm not looking for the masses of our people. I'm looking for those conscious brothers and sisters to say, hey, this is it. We're out of here. And if y'all want to stay here, y'all stay. If y'all want to try to convince these Caucasians that y'all should be treated like men and women, then y'all go ahead and do this. But I ain't lifting a damn finger. I ain't marching. I ain't demonstrating. I ain't throwing a damn rock. I ain't doing none of that. I'm getting out.
Now let me get to this, right?
Okay.
Once we do make our separation, who's going to defend us against the beast? Because, see, that we so far, and I listened to one of these local station hosts this morning, and I'm so glad this one brother called in because he was, like, basically trashing the young people, the looters. I mean, which they did do some stuff that I don't agree with because I did ride through Philadelphia. I looked at some of the damage, and there's one Chinese store that's been selling. They were shut down before because they were selling cat and dog, but they didn't destroy that store. They destroyed the super. Well, I guess they was shopping.
Okay.
They got in there and they got themselves some groceries.
Right.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. So, that's understandable.
So, you know, me and another brother was talking this morning, like we wish they would have closed them down. You know, that place. And the sisters were stealing hair, which they don't need.
Yeah.
But, you know, like my wife said, they're probably going to sell it. You know, so I don't know what's on the young people's mind, but we had this local morning host just trashing the young people and the politician, you know, and what happens is this one caller called up and says, look, man, you know, y'all up here talking about we burning down our own neighborhoods, this, that, and the other. I'm riding around the city, and we were not doing that. We don't own none of those businesses that they were looting and burning down. And then the local host said, well, you didn't hear me say that. And he said, well, your callers were saying it, and you was agreeing with them. Like, we got to get out of that narrative. And he said, matter of fact, you talking about this sets us up where we have to have a right to register and vote, and we can pray about this matter. Why don't y'all get out the way and let these young people do what they got to do? And I said, thank God for that call. Thank God. You know, because this country, every time they wanted to bring change, what did they use, Brother Oshie?
Mm-hmm. Violence.
So if we have to almost be in the same mindset of what their one of their forefathers says, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. There's no ifs, and buts about it. So it's going to be bloodshed. It's going to be bloodshed once we get to that point where we're tired and we overcome our fear. Because those are the two things that... Now, right now, I do practice self-defense.
I know you do, brother.
Like Brother Malcolm X said, self-defense isn't violence. Self-defense is intelligence.
That's right.
So, long as we have that mindset, we're on our way. Yeah. But when we want to kneel and have our hands up and wear t-shirts saying, I can't breathe, well... That's ask our young people, let them learn, because I'm glad they're out there and I'm glad they're doing something than nothing. As far as Antifa and these other groups, yeah, you're right. We don't have no voice in that matter. Let them do what they got to do. Now, Brother Oshie, I got to say this, and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to anger some of your callers. Oh, I might anger you. But, you know, I always hear people talking about these so-called internet scholars, which made me pick up some books off my shelf and read them again for myself. And I do have Dr. Ben. I hear some of these so-called internet scholars always quote Dr. Ben. But let me tell you something Dr. Ben said. He said, right in his book, We the Black Jews, that there was a certain group, and the Falashas, who were called Israelites. The only problem he has is this religion that was imposed on us, and also that how did we move from Ra and Osiris to Yahweh and Jesus. So those were Dr. Ben's exact words coming out of this book. I got two books by him, Black mm-hmm. Man of the Nile and We the Black Jews. Both of those books quoted right by this brother in his books. So when I hear these so-called internet scholars, oh, there was no such thing as Israelites. Let me tell you something. All you got to do is get this book by Eli. What's that brother name? Some Patrick Eli. And it's called Israel Hill on Apotmatox. And it says it's called Israel Hill. It's a part of Virginia where the free slaves, it was pre-Civil War, where they told this group of black folks, look, y'all free. And they called them Israel. And they said the danger in that was that these black people that they freed viewed themselves better than any white around them. They had their own way of doing things. And that was a threat to him. And this was in the 1700s. So
what happened to them? What happened to them?
You know what? I got to get the book by this brother. I read the pretext of it. And, you know, they probably got, you know, they was free. Well, we call them blacks now, but they didn't refer to themselves as Negroes or nothing. They referred to themselves as Israel. So I'm waiting on that book. And once I read it, I'm going to be back to cause more trouble.
Well, I don't know about causing trouble, but I just want to...
Dr. Ben people.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm reading his book. I want to see what came out of that brother's mouth instead of listening to these so-called internet scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Man, give me a damn break. This man said a whole bunch right in this book, and I'm going to continue reading. It's a sick book, but mm-hmm. I got to continue reading for myself. Thank God for a little fifth-grade education I can read a book like this.
I know.
So, you know.
I feel you, Ralph. I feel you.
I'm just there, and I'm here to, like, waking us up. Like, everything we hear off that internet, mm-hmm. and this goes for a lot of them people, they don't know what the hell they're talking about once I picked up this book and read it for myself. Yeah. They're just quoting that they knew Dr. Ben and this, that, and the other. They don't know a damn thing about that brother. Yeah. So that's all I got to say.
All right.
I just wanted to create some trouble. And and we got to free our mind of falsehoods, brother.
Yeah.
We got to research things for ourselves. Thank God for Wes. He tries his best to go out there and research things and bring stuff to the station.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to we just can't quote people because these people call themselves scholars. Let us read their book,
mm-hmm.
and then we can arrive at our own decision. So I'm going to go back on mute, bro. I just wanted to, like, bring it the way I do. All right?
All right, my brother.
You take care, man.
All right, Brother Ralph. Peace to you. Thanks. Always. Right on, Brother Ralph. Appreciate him. 464-464. Good afternoon.
What's happening, Oshi?
What's going on?
Hey, Ralphie boy. You know that I know you're trying to start some trouble, Ralphie boy. Be good, Ralphie boy. Because you know and I know they can't handle it, Ralphie boy. Hey, The bottom line is, what we going to do? Really, seriously, you know how Jim Brown said to Richard when Richard
what you going to do? Yeah.
What you going to do, Rich?
What you going to do?
The bottom line is we as a people have to figure out how we're going to be able to dismantle a system that sole job and sole purpose is to oppress African people.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand that, you don't understand nothing. I just saw where our brother in Rwanda had to kick some Chinese out
because
they were mistreating our brothers and sisters over there. That's what he's supposed to do.
Exactly.
Now, his only mistake was he didn't give them a beating before he sent them back home to their daddy. That's what you're supposed to do. But the reality is this. We are episodic people. We remote control Negroes. We just get caught up in a situation, and when the daddy give us something, we just go back to business as usual. Unfortunately, some of us just do some dumb things, like these two that I spoke about last night in New York who are trained Harvard grads throwing Molotov cocktails at the police. And they got the nerve to be Negroes. That right there is insanity. You have to ask yourself, what takes you to that type of point within your thinking to do something like that? That utterly stupid.
Well,
to destroy your life over what?
Well, you know, Jay, a lot of times, you're in a group, and then it becomes a development of groupthink, and as a consequence, you following within that group, and some craziness jumps off, and then you're right, and insane, within your right and sane mind, you know you wouldn't do it, but because you're in that environment, you do it. And then, of course, you get busted, or they see you, and they give you a felon. It pretty much ruins your life. A friend of mine was talking about from the 60s, when a brother in the 60s did some crazy stuff in Chicago, and it prevented him from getting on the fire department in Chicago because he had a felon as a young man, and it was never expunged. Yep. It was never expunged. So, you know, the consequences of your behavior. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. No, I didn't participate in the disturbance in 67. I didn't. And it was near my house. It was near my house. I didn't participate in the looting, breaking up stuff. No. I did participate in the demonstrations. I did participate in the open housing marches. I did participate with other organizations. But I didn't do that. In fact, even...
Yeah, but that's intelligence. Why should you go and loot, even though what you're looting isn't yours?
And especially around that time, it's shown the hell wasn't ours.
As a control to keep you oppressed, there has to be a form of intelligence based upon your behavior and your actions. Yeah, you go out there and you protest. Yeah, you go out there and march. I've done all of that. But whenever I saw some fool getting ready to do something that I deemed to be illegal, I wasn't trying to be around that cigar in the ice tea because I knew what it would lead to. See, I was one of these people who, at a young age, found out what it was like to be placed in the jail cell. So I knew I ain't never wanted to do that. So I always knew how to act and respond accordingly to what was in my legal rights to protest. It ain't my legal right to vandalize somebody's cigar in the ice tea. It's not my legal right to assault somebody if they're not assaulting me. It's not my right to do things that are going to cause harm to property that I know the overseer is there to protect. It's just like I saw an article today when I was looking on the internet about how all of a sudden in Atlanta there's a whole lot of bricks. You know, now, emotionalism would make you pick up the brick and throw the brick through a window, which will lead to nothing but trouble, which will lead to your life being destroyed, knowing that you're in a culture that's a police state. But the devilness and the wickedness is, and what we must find out is, who's the person that left the bricks there? Because that's the real agent, and that's the real enemy who's trying to coerce you into doing madness. Now, if you fall for the madness, then your black ass get what you deserve.
Okay, so
you basically sure. stuck on stupid.
So what? And waiting for dumb to come. Stuck on stupid and waiting for dumb to come. That's my friend Saida's. That's my friend Saida's line. But check this out. That those bricks might have been there for the Intifada, which is the left-wing anarchist organization. They might have been left there from the alt-right. Either or. Because both of those extremes want to make some stuff happen. And that stuff that they want to make happen is going to be bad for us. Because the Intifada, they got busted in a number of cities. In fact, even the alt-right, because then some Caucasian cop got busted. You know, and I know he ain't with the Intifada. He's with the alt-right. He's with the right wing, you know. The same cats that be having Confederate flags at Trump rallies. And Confederate flags at the protests at state capitals with guns and flak jackets on and so forth. Who are pushing this so-called idea of a race war. And in finance, they just want to create havoc, anarchy. They're spray paint. In fact, in Milwaukee, I saw a piece. The sister said, "Who's y'all? And what you doing spray painting on that building? We didn't tell you to do that." You know, let me say this, because in those disturbances and even in the marches, I seen back at that time, very few Caucasians. You might have saw some Caucasian clergy in the marches and demonstrations, but in the insurrections, which I, you know, got home to, you didn't see no Caucasians. That was all us. Because in fact, if you saw the Caucasian, you might have whooped his ass. You know,
that's what you need to do now when you see these white folks spray painting and doing all sorts of crazy things with around a group of black people. That's what you need to do. You need to snatch them up and whip their ass.
Okay. Let me get to another call.
So lastly, they had a queen who had to get into the behind of these Yorugas because they were handing out bricks or trying to hand out bricks to young black men.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to salute the queen for having the discipline to get up in their face and let them know, what are you doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of our brothers and sisters who are caught up in the emotionalism of what's going on, who don't really understand the history behind what's going on. And it's our job to show them a better way and show them a future of what is ahead, but also to support them. Don't get me twisted. Don't think that I don't support those young people and what they're doing. My thing is they just have to be intelligent about it. You can put me on.
All right.
On mood.
All right, Jay. Up
and listen. Rocky right. Boy. Behave, Rocky Boy.
404-734. Good afternoon. Okay. Just listening. That's cool. I'm going to play this. This is LL Cool J. LL Cool J and from back in the day, wearing that Kango, you know. Was one of the strong rappers at the time, you know. LL Cool J.
For 400 years, you had your knees on our necks. A garden of evil with no seeds of respect. In America's mirror, all she sees is regret. Instead of letting blood live, they begging for bloodlet. Revenge is a dish that's served on platelets. Transfusion of confusion, abusing our intellect. I can't be bought with a $1,200 check, even though $1,200 can make a meal stretch. My mama wasn't rich, but she earned my respect. She made a little bit of money for a lot of blood, tears, and sweat. Jumping up and down on police cars, I'm vexed. After Chauvin killed George Floyd, we got next. Molotov cocktails, anarchy on the set. The rich took the loot, so now we loot shit. Feeling like a caged tiger that's whipped to do tricks. That's why I started fires and yelled and threw bricks. They tried to run me over and arrest me and shit. Tased, pepper spray, and engaged with the kid. They ran up in the state house with them AKs quick. But let a nigga try and do that white boy shit. Won't be no rubber bullets ricocheting off ribs. But the white supremacists go in the cops' faces spit. Try to barbecue, Becky call the cops on the kid. Hoping and praying it'd be some Emmett Till shit. Sandra wasn't bland, they hated Mike cause he brown. Trayvon should have had an Aston Martin riding around. Amadou Diallo, it's way too many to follow. Vato, how much of my pride I gotta swallow? God only knows how deep this plan goes. I was dealing with this shit as a teen in Kangos. Harassed by cops, word to my ancestors' souls. And watching that man die slow left a hole. He cried for his mama as the murder unfold. If it wasn't for them phones, Chauvin would be at home. Feeling justified because of George's skin tone. I'm telling it to those with melanin, you're not alone. The new Malcolm, Martin, and Marcuses are now grown. America's a graveyard full of black men's bones. And I ain't got to tell you that Breonna Taylor got slayed in her own home. Had they lived, Sean could have rocked bells. Eric could have garnered attention. Beyond the t-shirts and obituary mentions. Oscar could have been counting grants. Tamir could have went to Rice. They owed them cops nothing, but all of them paid the price. So yeah, you right. We should protect our Second Amendment rights. Because in a second, a dirty cop could kick the door in at night. A 2-4-2 finna life for a life. We refuse to live in hell while you living in paradise. Being black in America's like rolling a pair of dice. But the stakes are way higher, you gambling with my life. Black lives matter. Forever.
Ashe, Ashe. Black lives matter. Well, you know, but to Caucasians, it's mind over matter. That's right. To Caucasians, it's Europeans, it's mind over matter. They don't mind doing to us what they have done to us and continue to do to us because why? We don't matter. We don't matter. They can give less than a rat's about our feelings, our conditions. They put us in it. This is the result of what they have done. All the things that are happening here and what we do is a result of what they have done. Social engineering. I know my brother Franklin Jones. Complied consent. All of these things in the study of how the European manipulates the mind. And not just of us, but the world. They have trained the world to hate us. The commercials that you've seen or heard about in Japan, Korea, China, Europe, steel, Darkie toothpaste, what was that, Benetton? Or no, some other fashion company with the black face with big red lips. They don't mind because we don't matter. And even if you protest, so damn what? The only solution, the ultimate, the so-called end game. What is our end game? Our end game is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That's the damn end game, y'all. How do you prepare? Information, education, sharing, love of self, love for each other, support, protection. Getting ready to go to the continent. Getting rid of the despots, the neo-colonialists, all those weak-ass people who have been trained by the West, trained in France, trained in England, trained in America. Getting rid of their ass. Controlling, kicking the Chinese out, and you know they deserve it. Now, I understand something. They did something more than what the Europeans have done of late. The Europeans have just taken. At least the Chinese built a road or built something. But still, they understood they ain't going to be able to pay that back, and I'm going to get it. And then pretty soon I'm going to put a defense force in, and I'm going to control this. And then this, I'm going to bring in 100 million. 100 million people, or somebody said, was it 300? I don't know, some ridiculous ass number into Africa. And they ain't going to be African. They Chinese. And they're going to be Chinese. They're not going to come in to melt with the... Just, did the European come in to melt with the indigenous people? Hell no. They imposed what their ideology was. They imposed what their theology was. They imposed their culture. They imposed European culture. And if you didn't go along with it, you were dead. If you resisted, you were dead. They don't want us to hear about no damn resistance. If you can remember, if you old as me, when you were in school, did you learn about Frederick Douglass? No. Because he whipped the cracker's ass and left Maryland, went to Massachusetts. Did you learn about Nat Turner? Oh, hell no. He killed crackers. Oh, I got to watch them words. My bad. He killed Europeans. He killed Caucasians. You ain't going to learn about him. They don't want to teach you about anybody resisting. They taught you about Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver, great men, both of them. They weren't going to talk about Marcus Garvey. I never learned about Marcus Garvey until the 60s. Had no idea. In fact, a lot of other people, I had no idea in the mid-60s. So I'm saying is that this is theirs, not ours. And the European is selfish and greedy. That's who he is. That's what he is. Don't want to share. And it's very domineering. Michael Bradley, one of the few Caucasians I would make mention of in his book, The Iceman's Inheritance, talking about how the Caucasian became this way, coming out of that evolutionary development in Europe. Out of that, I'm telling you, there is nothing that we can do or say. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior, even though there's a plethora of information and examples to prove otherwise. They dismiss it. They ignore it. When Dr. DeAngelo tried to talk to Caucasians about, you know, what they have done, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear from, they sure in hell don't want to hear from us. They didn't want to hear from her ass. So she labeled it Caucasian or white fragility. They were fragile. They want to believe that they were good. They believe that imposing Christianity on the world was good. They believe that imposing European culture and taking people's stuff was ultimately good. They believe that taking us out of Africa was good for us because it exposed us to Western ideas and Western culture and Western theology was good. They believe that coming back into Africa and colonizing and taking resources and ultimately, once again, being exposed to Europeans was good. And of course, they develop a leadership that supported that. Look at the leadership here that we've had. Even to this day, the clergy in the belief in that bull. Look at the Boule. Those educated Negroes of today, even. Let alone when they started it to, with Du Bois and them to stop Marcus Garvey and the intelligentsia of our people going with that idea as opposed to begging Caucasians to let us in. Let us be with you. Let us work with you. Let us live where you live. Let us be educated where you get educated. Let us have jobs. Promote us. And still to this day, even like Minnesota, you know, when this group and I was saying to them that, you know, it was a policy group in Milwaukee and we were talking about racism. And I said that Milwaukee is more racist because Milwaukee was settled by Germans and Poles. And if you know Germans are adamant. Germans believe that even though they got their ass whooped twice in World War One and Two, that we would never defeat it. We're the Vaterland, you know, Breckenridge Deutsch, all that bull. settled by Germans and Poles, who are more adamant in their racism. Hence why Milwaukee, even in a city to this day, we constitute a majority, but yet we still don't run nothing. We still don't have nothing. As opposed to Minnesota, which was settled by Norwegians and Swedes, hence the Minnesota Vikings, who are not as adamant. No, they are racist. Caucasians, by their nature, are that way, but not as adamant. And hence, a lot of brothers, even my brother-in-law, my first wife, he moved out of Milwaukee, went to Minnesota. He was a musician. Many musicians went there because it was an explosion. Hence, you know, all the mingling and the women, all them high yellow folks, if you want to use that term, Prince, Apollonia, Sheila E., number of them, you know, the music. And so, well, of course, they kicked me out of that group. And some other stuff that I said and did, but hey, you know. But the bottom line is, it doesn't make a difference. In Minnesota, still, Caucasians make 40,000 more than on average than African Americans. American Africans. They make, it's like that all the way down the line. From an economic standpoint, and this is capitalism, and capitalism about money, there will never be a redistribution of wealth. Not even Caucasians who are poor don't want redistribution of wealth because they believe that they have the ability. They may strike a rich. They may hit that lottery. That lottery tomorrow is $350 million. Hell, I hope I hit it. You know, you know, they because they don't want redistribution of wealth. They love this system. And it had not been for the virus and the economic downturn, believe me, Donald Trump would have been reelected because of the economy and the people's perception. Not ours. It shouldn't be ours because the bottom line is, no, this employment was bull. You had to have 2 to 3 jobs to have a livable wage. We have never had on a par livable wage. Now there are some of us that are doing quite well. You know? I've mentioned that many times. There's some of us who are doing quite well. We live in gated communities, cul-de-sac subdivisions, and we're doing quite well. Then there's a lot of us who ain't doing too well. There are a lot of us. If you take 100%, 100% of that 100%, just like it is in this country, about 10% of us are doing exceedingly well. And there's another 10% that are doing good. But it's that 80% that is teetering constantly, making it paycheck to paycheck. And then there's some of us who ain't even doing that here in this land of milk and damn honey. Got a few more minutes. I'm going to call on a few people that I've called on before so I get any new callers. 404-445.
Yes, sir,
all right, my brother. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wes.
Hey, my man Raph, right, man. You know what I mean? I keep trying to tell people who we are, man. It's all written, man. Once you realize who we are, man, it's just simple, man. Just try to do them 10 commandments, but also defend yourself now. Okay? You got to be defend yourself. And just change your diet. I eat that hog alone. Try to do them 10 commandments. It's simple, man. And honor the Most High on the Sabbath day, man. It's simple. And then you'll see what kind of transformation you make. Well, you covered, man.
Okay.
You covered, man. I'm telling you, we covered, man. The whole world waiting on us, man, to do what we got to do. Leave that, man.
Well, let me say this.
These complications know who we are, man. They know who we are.
Let me say this, Wes.
Yes, sir.
You know, I know we don't know who we are because we've been trained not to and trained not to support and understand who we are through us. We know who we are based upon what they have told us, what they have given us. You know? So I'm saying, you know, until we reject them and reject any and everything that they present to us, that is when we'll know who we are.
Oh, yeah, man. That's right, man. Even, what's that? I know y'all like the Bible quote, but Jeremiah 10 say, do not bring no tree outside and put it in your house and nail it down and boot your big black behind over and put a gift down and boot your black behind over to pick that gift up. You can't buy to no tree. Just don't do what they do, man.
Well,
that's simple. That's what the Most High is. Separation time, man.
Well,
it's
you know,
all about separation.
Well, you
time.
Know, some theologies do that, particularly Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't engage in the Christmas holiday. They don't, you know, but still, you know, let me just say this from my perspective, Wes. The Western theologies are not good for us. Any theology that is not African, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, they are not good for us. They are not African.
We must return to the source. Man.
We must return to the source. You know?
My man, you had my man over there on your show last week. He told y'all who we are, man.
Yeah.
That's Africa. Israel is in Africa, bro.
Okay.
It's not no damn Middle East. Israel is Africa, man.
Okay.
But y'all keep living, man. Y'all gonna see, man. That's all I can say. Just keep living and keep your eyes open. And you got to be covered, though, man. That's all I'm saying, bro. I know it's not no Western theology, bro. That's all African, man. I'm black African every day.
Right on.
So anyway, you're Uhuru.
All right, that's right. Uhuru. Peace, my brother. All right. Thanks, Wes. 646.
Hey, you know, research Wes left out one thing.
What did research Wes leave out?
He left out one thing. In the blood of Jesus. You know, we covered, as they say, in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, anytime you think you covered in the blood of Sky Daddyism, when the Sky Daddy ain't never came back and saved your black ass, I think something really wrong with you to have that type of thinking. Because me, I don't believe it. You know, I was covered in the blood of Sky Daddyism, because when my ancestors was murdered, raped, and beaten, nobody came and saved them. The only thing that may have saved them was the peckerwood got a little tired for all of the lashes that he put on our people. But no, the blood of Jesus and the Sky Daddy ain't doing a damn thing. And they doing the damn thing now. You know, you would think when the young brother Floyd was dying, the Sky Daddy would have destroyed that no good devil to let his so-called man of faith and his disciple live. That's the type of action I want to hear and see about the Sky Daddy striking down these filthy, stinking devils when they hold a harm up. That's the type of Sky Daddyism I want to hear about. I don't want to hear nothing about no effing Ten Commandments and all that other bull.
You know,
nah, man, that's the type of revolutionary Christianity I want to hear somebody talk about. The Sky Daddy striking somebody when they doing harm to a so-called member of his holy congregation. That's
okay.
Real talk.
That's real talk. And you know what Malcolm said it best. Malcolm said, when I come to the table, and that's what I'm asking us to do, to come to the table to deal with the issues that are affecting us as a people as it relates to what has been happening with us and to us consistently. He said, when I come to the table, I'm not going to bring El Islam. That's my religious philosophy. Because I know if I do that, somebody's going to say, well, I'm with Christianity, or I'm with Seventh-day Adventists. I'm Jehovah's Witness. I'm black Hebrew Israelite. I'm this or that, I'm that. And we will all be scattered. We come to the table because we are Africans. Because we don't suffer because we're all those theologies. We don't suffer because we NAACP or Urban League or Mega Psi Phi or Delta Sigma Theta. We suffer because we are Africans.
Yep.
That's the only reason we suffer. So when we come to the table, we're going to work on what it's going to take for us to be men and women and family and children, respecting elders, assisting and helping children, and honoring our ancestors. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to build. We're going to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign.
Nobody, I ain't never heard no woman getting raped calling on Jesus or the Heavenly Father to save her that was saved. You know, real talk. I ain't never heard no woman say that she was being raped and while the man was on top of her, something struck his ass like lightning or hands lifted him off of her or anything like that. See, if there was really a God, a just God, a righteous God, he would protect those who are under distress and despair. But see, we get caught up in a mythology of absolute BS that is used to control you and allow your oppressor to.
Bookman Duty say in the Haitian and Haiti Revolution. He said, throw away the white man's God and you will be free. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say maybe you would be free. He said you will be free. And so what happened? They did that and they were free. And then what happened? United States, Britain, Spain all came down on them. And Haiti has been suffering ever since. And what is the belief? Hold on, Jay. I don't have much time. And so what is the belief? The belief is that you dishonored God. You turned away from Christianity because they were Catholic. You turned away from that. And therefore, that's why you suffer. That's a damn lie. It's a damn lie.
Spookism 101, 102, 103. That's all it is. Brainwashing.
Yes.
It's getting you to believe in the supernatural, the superstition, the evil, the bagoody goo-goo.
Yeah.
It's just unreal. Like Eddie said, bagoody goo-goo. You know
yeah,
what
well,
I
let
mean?
Me just
Come
say
on.
This.
I mean, are we really for real? Are we for real? But
let me
listen,
say this. Let me say this,
if
Jay. Hold on, Jay.
Free,
Jay, let me,
you
Jay,
got a hurdle.
Jay, let me say this. I believe in African spirituality before I ever believe in anything Europeans give us, any theology they would ever even attempt to give us. I believe in African spirituality. There was no devil in African spirituality. There was no devil. The Europeans have to have a devil. But at least one of the things that in my multiple readings of Urugu by Marimba Ani is the religious section and why their Christianity had to be real, even though it was co-opted, even though it taken right out of ancient Kemet. But to them, everybody else's theology is a myth. Everybody else's theology is a fairy tale. Everybody else's theology is allegory. But what I have is real. It's historical. It's factual. It's a damn lie. It's a damn lie. And we believe these damn lies. Jay, I got to go, man. I got to make way.
Oshi, have a good day, and I'm going to make me some cookies. Have a good day, brother.
All right, Jay. You too, dear brother. Peace to you, man. Going to make some cookies. I hope they're oatmeal raisins with nuts and so forth. Damn, I'm thinking about my friend Saida again. Okay. Let me say this, family.
Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
All I was saying is God defend those that defend ourselves, man.
I hear you.
All them brothers were standing around and watched them three, four jackass jump on that brother.
Uh-huh.
Say, God say, defend yourself. We should have took them motherfuckers out, man.
Ooh, watch it, Wes. Watch it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that, man.
But I understand your feeling.
God give us a script. Defend ourselves. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, let me just say this to you. If you'd have, if you would have done something to those four men who were pinning that brother down, then something would have happened to you based upon the Minneapolis Police Department, and they might have shot and killed you because you have attempted to intervene. You know,
hey, the way I look at it, man, we gonna die anyway, man.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. I'd rather die for a cause than be caused.
We gotta start defending ourselves, man.
They die, we die, bro. All right.
Okay? Simple as that, man.
All right, Jay. Peace, all right, Wes.
Man. I love y'all.
Love you too, brother. Peace to you, brothers and sisters. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that the world wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, have a great and wonderful day. Bibi Fahorie. Bibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Hope you can join us on Wednesday. Peace, family.